Well, good evening, Potter's Foursquare Church. Hope all is well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my office in my home. And as we continue on our sort of COVID schedule, things are getting back to normal a little bit. We have church on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock and Wednesdays at 6:30. On Sundays, we are continuing in our study of Matthew. And on Wednesdays, we are continuing our study in the book of Ephesians. And that's where we are tonight. We're going to be talking about the fact that Jesus is our peace. And so, in just getting my brain around this lesson, one of the things that I've seen of late is, you know, I'm sure you've grown weary of all the various solutions to heal our land and all of the political and racial divides that we are currently experiencing. And I'm sure you've been told that Jesus can heal all that troubles this nation. Well, that is a true statement. He can. He is the only hope that we have, right? There's just no other question for that. While that statement is truthful, he can heal all that troubles, but, you know, how can he do that, and why is an amazing thing that we need to be reminded of. And it's because of the fact that he is peace, right? He's the Prince of Peace. He's made peace between us and God. That means that peace that he makes between us and God, it spills over to other areas of our life, and that is why we have peace with one another. You can never have peace by just making peace between man and man. There has to be peace with us and God first before there's peace with man and man. And so tonight we're going to learn how that process is made possible. And one of the things that I want to encourage you with is that, you know, we're in a time right now politically that is divided our country in ways that we have never seen before. There are literally half of the people, 50% of the people that voted for our country to be fundamentally changed more to a model of socialism. And these are just facts. And then you have the other half of the country who voted against that didn't want it. And they didn't want it so bad that they were willing to vote for somebody that they probably did not like, probably did not respect, but anything other than socialism was better than going down that road. And so that's a big deal, right? You have a country that's very, very different. And if you look at our country on the coasts, right, you have those who, you know, are for fundamentally changing our country. And then you have the middle of the country where the people are fine with the way the country is. There's hatred for our country represented by the coasts, but there's love for the country represented in the middle. Now, I'm sure that doesn't apply everywhere. There's obviously people on the coast who love the country and are not wanting to make this country, a socialist nation. However, the majority is what it is. If you look at any electoral map, you'll be able to see it. It's glaring, right? So one of the questions is, how do we get our country back? How do we get our country to be in unity again? How do we get mankind to walk? And one of the things that socialism does is it causes, if you believe in socialism, it causes you to hate every other viewpoint. And that's simply the problem, okay? Obviously, you know by listening to me and by hearing me, I am not for a socialist agenda at all. I don't support it. I think it's wrong for our country. I think it's, most socialist nations are defined by atheists, and I just don't think that that's the way we need to go. I have no problem with part of our country being liberal and part of our country being conservative. I think it's a healthy balance. And if this election goes in the direction that we think it's going to go, which is Biden will be our president and the Senate will remain in the hands of the Republicans and the House will be added more Republicans, and so it'll balance out the power a little bit. That right then and there is going to bring a little more stability and peace to our country, but that's about all we can do. The rest has to be done by the Lord. And you, if you think about how much of a divide there is, we see how much of an opportunity there is for God to step in. And remember, guys, God steps in by using us, right? Yes, he could come down here and do a miracle and cause everybody to be at peace, but he would rather be peace in us and that we go and make peace, right? So I want to bring you back to a time, you know, and I know I'm digressing a little bit before we get into our sermon, but it has a lot to do with this particular passage. I go back to a time when my parents were alive, when I was a kid, and, you know, I knew my mom and dad loved this country. I knew they voted. I never really knew if my mom was a Democrat or Republican. I think my dad was a Republican, but it wasn't life-threatening, right? And now it's life-threatening, and I have evidence to support that, right? How is it that the polls said that Biden was going to win by 8 percentage points, you know, for the whole country? And how is it that it was going to be a landslide and this and that? And this election is probably going to be one of the closest elections we've ever had, especially when you consider that we have more people that have voted ever in the history of the country. Now, if you look at that, there's a lot of people who were not completely free to say who they were going to vote for. Because, again, if you say you voted for Trump, then obviously there is a stigma that's put on you and you are judged. And this is rampant in Southern California, right? It's just not the place to be conservative because it's extremely liberal. This is probably the single most liberal state, and I'll say even left of liberal, right? So if you consider that, you know, people weren't free to say who they were going to vote for, and the polls show that, because there was a lot of people who obviously, you know, they told the pollster one thing and they voted another way. And you guys, the important thing to note here, right, is that there is a work for God to do between these two groups of people. And this work that needs to be done, the good news that I'm going to bring you tonight, is a work that he's already done. He's already done something more miraculous than bringing Republicans and Democrats together. And I'm going to open up tonight in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. And you can read along with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. It says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Verse 17, "He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Father, give us wisdom this evening as we study. We pray your blessing upon our understanding of this text. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, what's our purpose? "We study to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides a word of truth." And that's why you and I are here tonight. So a couple of observations. You know, he says he is our peace, and this peace, right, his peace has a purpose. His peace has a purpose. And in this particular text, it's talking about how he made two groups of people, very, very, very different groups, right? You could say that one of these groups was completely privileged, and that would be the Hebrews, right? And then you have the Gentiles who were, you know, obviously lower than the Hebrews, and we talked about that last week, because they didn't have, remember, they were outside the camp. They did not have all the promises. They did not have all of the covenants. They did not have the law, the word of God. They did not have all the miracles that happened. Those were all to the Hebrew nation and not to the Gentiles. And so what does it say that he did? He said he removed the barrier that was dividing the Hebrews and the Gentiles. And how did he do that? What is the barrier? So the barrier is this dividing wall, and it's what we call the law. And he satisfied its requirements. And, you know, the two groups in this are now made one because that dividing barrier was taken away. They're one in body, which is a reference to the church. And he permanently removed their division, period. And both groups could now draw near. Remember, it says one was close, one was far off, but they both draw near. The playing field has been leveled. And they now have access to the throne of God, both of them, Jew and Gentile. In a different place, Paul says, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no Scythian, there is no this, there is no that. In terms of what you were born into this world, you are all believers, and you are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that is our identity. And the only thing that can break down those identities is understanding that we belong to the family of God. And if we want to bring unity to our country, then it would be one thing if the church began to be unified. It would be one thing if the church began to be, you know, a model for what unity is. And I think so many times the world is looking at us and not very impressed, because there's more times than not that we are not in unity. Our whole response to this COVID, the frustrating thing as a pastor is that there's so many different churches that have taken a different stance. And because of that, they've judged one another, right? There's churches that from the beginning fought to stay open with no masks, no social distancing, no nothing. Just, we're going to stay open no matter what and take us to court. And they fought this battle. There are other churches that fell somewhere in the middle. And then there's other churches to this day, they have not met in person because of fear. And instead of embracing, saying, you know, everybody, every pastor has the right to make a decision as to what he thinks is right for his flock, we've begun to judge one another. And the way that we do that is, oh, you're a mask wearer, or oh, you're a this, or oh, you're a lockdown person, or whatever. And these battle lines have begin to take place even in church. And that's just something that simply shouldn't be, because if God could bring a Jew and a Gentile together, then he can surely bring believers on the same page. And that's just, this is just COVID. What about all the other doctrinal issues that we just divide over on a regular basis? Guys, there's, you know, a lot of people. We've been a church for over 25 years. There are a lot of people who are no longer attending our church because of the fact that we have women ministers. And they're willing to pick up their toys and go home because of it, right? So we don't do a very good job of being united. We have a lot of division in the church. And again, I go back to this miracle that God did. If he made the two groups one, and now they're able to boldly come into God's presence by redefining who they were, then we should be able to do that. We should be able to do that now. Our love for one another should be more important than Democrat and Republican, but it's not. It's truly not. And I'm not blaming that on the Christians. I'm not blaming that on, I'm blaming on everybody. It's fundamentally a problem that this United States has, and that we have allowed ourselves to get to the place to where politics and political identity is a religion. It defines who you are. And that's just sad, because what should define who we are is whether or not we are good people. There are people that are filled with goodness that are atheists. I know people that do not believe that they were created by God. I know people that are atheist or agnostic or whatever they are, that they don't have God in their life whatsoever, but they're trustworthy people. They don't lie, they don't go out and do stupid things. They're good people. And so for me to, you know, to make a declarative statement saying, yes, if you don't know God, there's no way that you could be good. There's evidence to suggest otherwise. However, we, the people in the church, have a problem being good. We have a problem. I mean, we can't even agree that the murder of infants is wrong. We can't even agree to that. We can't even agree on sexual identity. We can't agree on that. There's so many things that we don't agree on. And if you look at what God did, in this miracle, by bringing Jews and Gentiles together and declaring them the same under him, a new creation, if that was the intent of what Jesus did, then that should be the intent of what we see today, and it's simply not. We're not doing it. So let's interpret. Jesus removed the obstacle, the sin barrier, right? He removed the sin barrier between God and man through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. It was removed. That barrier was removed. He also tore down the dividing wall of partition that separated Jew from Gentile. Even today, if you go to Israel, there's still a wall of Jew and Gentile. That city is divided up into four different areas. Jerusalem is. What did he do? He united them together in brotherly love, making them one man in Christ. One man. One man, one voice, one baptism, one spirit, one God, one Savior. So, number two, the work of removing the barrier was foretold in his word, right? Israel was chosen by God to be the people whom God would bless all nations of the world, and they were entrusted with the word of God, which was spoken through the prophets of old. And Judah was born from the promised seed of the woman, the Messiah and Israel, and the Savior of the world. And Jesus was, you know, to reconcile the world to himself and remove all the dividing walls that man had put up from man to man. What else does he do? Reconciliation, which is a spiritual barrier. Christ also removed the spiritual barrier between the Jew and Gentile so that by grace through faith in him, those that were far off might be brought near. Remember, the Jews were near because they had the promises, they had the covenants, but not the Gentiles. But both of them, the one that was near and the one that was far off, were both brought to the same place, the same location, the same distance from God, which is right at his throne. His message of peace with God and the brotherhood of believers reconciled them both to God as one body, which he would later identify as his church. The body is the church. The church is a body. There are parts of the body that function differently. And guys, it's been our problem since day one. We struggle with that concept. We want to make parts of the body more important than the others. And what we don't understand is every part of the body has the same amount of importance. So all of this happened through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. The fourth thing was the legal barrier was removed. And Christ removed the legal wall of partition because he fulfilled the unattainable law on behalf of those who would believe in his name. In other words, we could never fulfill the law. We could never live up to it. Jesus is a better covenant built on better promises, the Bible says. We're no longer under the law, but under grace. He canceled out the certificate of debt that was against us, taking it out of the way. And he nailed it to the cross on behalf of those who would believe in his name. So, quickly, this evening in application, you know, guys, Jesus is our only hope for peace, for true peace, through time and even into eternity. We must never forget the grace of God that has been extended to all who trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, because it's his blood. We learned that last week, that he reconciled both Jew and Gentile into one body, which is the church, one body. Number two, Jesus is the only God that can remove the barriers between men, period. That's why it's so important for us to be praying for our country, praying for our leaders. You know, it's likely that Joe Biden will be the president, whether you like him or not. Let's not do what everybody else did in this world, which is hate our president. He's our president. The very office as an American suggests that we should honor that office. And the way that we honor it, if we don't agree, we pray. We pray. This sacrifice was glorious that Jesus made, and it brought this, you know, united state that we would love to participate in, but we're failing. Jesus put to death forever the enmity that once existed, not only between us and God, but between one another. He's the only answer, guys. This is point number three. He's the only answer. He's a kinsman redeemer. In the New Testament, Christ is often regarded as an example of a kinsman redeemer. And he also redeems us by this, our great need, one that only he can satisfy. So in Ruth, when we talk about this kinsman redeemer, the job of a kinsman redeemer was to cover with his protection to redeem her and to make her his wife. That's what Boaz did for Ruth. In the same way, the Lord Jesus brought us to himself out of out of the curse that we are at and out of the destruction. And he made us his own beloved bride. And he blessed us for all generations. He's the true kinsman redeemer that we can call on by faith. And if you've never done that, you have an opportunity tonight. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And I pray that you make that your prayer. And if you did, you will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will have the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, the wisdom of God, the protection of God, all the wonderful blessings that we could find in the scripture that are in this book of Ephesians, if you just read it. If you listen normally and you've already made that decision, then you know what I'm about to say. He has shown you and me what is good and what the Lord requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Let's do that now. God bless you guys.